It's found in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, as Nancy mentioned. Wonderful verses, convicting verses, as Paul gives some instructions. He's moving toward the end of this letter that he writes, and he's kind of covering everything at this point. So let's listen in, and let's listen for what God might say to us through these words. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lack in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The word of the Lord. Let's pray with me. Lord, may the power of your Spirit be in this place and with these people. That by the mystery of your presence in these words, we might hear your word. We pray it through Christ. Amen. So in our immediate family, we have it's a family discussion. I call it that. It's really, I bring it up the most. And the question is, who is the smartest one in our family? And I know many of you who know our family are thinking, Clint, it ain't you. And I will admit, I'm kind of a dark horse in the race. My wife, my brother, my sister-in-law, all valedictorians. Both of our girls, basically 4.0 students. Less true in my case. I was close. I just missed it by like a point and a half or something. But bear with me. I test really well. I read really fast. I remember a lot. I've got varied interests. And I think I at least have a place in the conversation. And I was already thinking some of this last week, maybe trying to use some of this for a sermon. When my mom's husband, Pat, many of you know Pat. Pat stopped by the church. He'd been sorting through some of mom's stuff after she passed away and had some stuff that he wanted our family to have. So he dropped off a little box of pictures and things. And in that collection of stuff, in with it, I don't know why. I'm not sure how they got where they got, but about a half dozen of my high school report cards. They did not help my case. Not only were the grades not impressive, the comments and footnotes were worse. Clint talks too much. Clint doesn't focus. Clint needs to apply himself. Clint doesn't do his daily homework. And most blunt, his work is affected by a negative attitude. Well, it brought back some bad memories, and I made a comment to Jane, oh, it feels like going to a parent-teacher conference. And Jane said, I love those. And I said, of course you loved them. Your teacher said good things, and your parents went home happy. Some of us had a very different experience of those events. And the reason that I was kind of revisiting all this childhood trauma was our passage in Romans this morning. It's truly one of the great laundry list passages. And by that I just mean we get these in the New Testament some places where it's just do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. And this is one of the great ones. It's maybe the New Testament equivalent to something like the Ten Commandments. Paul, in these few verses, lays out the standards and the goals of Christian behavior. He uses them to paint a picture of what a Christian life should look like. They are high standards, of course, but they're also, they're practical. They're challenging. There's enough in here that I don't think anyone could read it and not at some moment feel a little convicted. And as I tried to prepare a sermon and read the passage and tried to listen for what to preach, I thought about the start of school and college sessions, and I flashed back to those uncomfortable parent-teacher conferences, and somehow I imagined a spiritual version of that. I pictured sitting at a table with Paul while he evaluates me or you on our Christian living, where he get, you know, pulls this passage out and uses it as a checklist to give you a grade in each area to see how well we are doing, living our life like disciples. And I don't want to stir up anxiety in my fellow parent-teacher conference haters, but I do want to run through some of this quickly. And I want to invite you to ask yourself honestly, how am I doing? And if I were getting a grade, what would that look like? So here we go. Love must be sincere, which sounds easy. Of course we really love the people we love. We sincerely love them. That's not exactly what Paul's saying. Within Christianity, there's this kind of be nice to people mentality that has developed. And the logic goes, well, as long as I'm not being a jerk to someone, I'm probably fine. If I can keep my distance and not have bad thoughts about people, that's probably good enough. But I don't think that's what Paul has in mind here. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, he goes on to say that that includes people that you don't want to be your neighbor. People you don't like. People you don't agree with. Advice doesn't cut it. Paul's asking us, are we showing a Jesus-like love to people? Even people that are hard to love. Are they getting our prayers? Are they getting our kindness, our genuine compassion? Love genuinely. What grade are you getting on that? Outdo one another, Paul says, in honoring each other. And if you translate this literally, it says something like, lead the way in respecting others. Show the way. Go first in honoring. Be an example of honoring others. And the tricky word here is others. Because if others means people I respect and agree with and admire, great. I'm doing really well. But if others includes people that I don't agree with, who look different, act different, vote different, people that I don't admire, maybe I don't like. And if the question is, how much respect am I showing outside of my own circle? How much dignity am I giving those who are different? That's a much harder conversation. Now, how's the grade looking? Then some quick hitters. Keep your spiritual passion up. Stay focused on faith things. Be joyful. Be hopeful. Be patient. And keep your prayer life strong. Be generous. Practice great hospitality, which is a word that means welcome, even strangers and outsiders. Make people welcome. You getting any check marks or footnotes in that section? I imagine Paul looking across the table at me and saying, patience. Well, he just shakes his head and writes something in the margins that I can't read. And then, like all this isn't hard enough, now we get to the advanced stuff, the 400 level courses. Bless those who curse you and don't curse them. And you're thinking, wait, what class is this? I did not sign up for this one. My advisor must have dropped me in here. and I didn't mean to be here. I had a friend in college who needed a language credit, so at Northwestern College, he signed up for Dutch. I don't even think he made it through. I think he walked out during the first class. Bless people who curse me. Love people who don't love you. I'm guessing for most of us, this one's a GPA killer. My high school teacher's note flashes back through my head. Work affected by negative attitude. Bless people who curse you. That's Paul's standard. Share people's joy and their sorrow. And here I think we can breathe maybe a little easier for most of us. I think this one is pretty doable. Yes, some of the homework can be difficult, but hopefully this one's a little easier, particularly if those people we're rejoicing with are people we like. That one we can do. Live in harmony. Don't argue. This is another one that feels like it's pointed straight at me. Don't be proud or conceited. Don't look down on others. You think, wait, didn't we already talk about this one? And, oh, there's two sessions of it? Oh. Two chances to learn that it's not about me in a world that says everything is about me? When even my phone and my computer specifically sort out what I want and what I want to hear? And we can read proud or conceited and think, well, I'm not that. I'm confident. I'm happy. I'm not. That's not me. But when we understand that the real point is don't think of yourself first or don't think of yourself as above, don't think of others second or as less, it feels like it gets harder. It feels like a more difficult standard. Don't repay evil. Don't get even. Okay. Don't keep score. Oh, wait a minute. Don't trade bad for bad. Don't hold grudges. Oh, come on, Paul. Carefully consider what is right in everyone's eyes. And this is a fascinating verse. It's a tough translation. It says something like, it has to do with thinking about what is right in the eyes of all. In other words, what they can see. Maybe even knowing what to do so people see what is right. This isn't relativism. You can read this and think it's trying to tell you that what is right is determined by people's opinions. That's not it at all. What this is about is responsibility to be an example of doing what is right. Right in this case being all the stuff that's already been outlined. Consider carefully what is right and do that before the eyes of others. Be seen doing what is right. Don't hold on to bad. Don't return bad. Be an example of what is right and be good to those who have been bad to you. Now, we could and we should split a lot of hairs about what that does and doesn't mean. There are some places that could take us that we'd have to really give some deep thought. But for most of us, there aren't a lot of loopholes. And the general meaning is pretty obvious. Finally, the conference is almost over. We get to one of my favorite, least favorite verses. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. This one sounds doable. I can get along with the people who are agreeable. The other people, I can leave them alone. But the word here is an adjective that describes an ability through strength. A capability. And the great irony here is that we here if it is possible, and assume, well, whether it's possible depends on others. In other words, I'll do my part, but they have to come along and meet me halfway. What it might actually say is, if you are strong enough, if you are able enough, live at peace in good relationship with everyone. Again, hard enough, but Paul seems to make it even more challenging. If at all possible, based on what you can do, live at peace and harmony with other people. Well, how did you do? You stopping for ice cream on the way home, or is it a long, silent car ride? I won't presume, but for me, another teacher note comes to mind. Needs improvement. I suspect most of us would have a low score or two, which is a good reminder that living the faith, not just the church part, not just the Christian music and book and activity part, real, actual, living like people who follow Jesus is hard. The standards are high. The work is difficult. It is not easy. And I know you, or at least I hope you know this. The point isn't for Paul or for the New Testament or for the church or for Christianity that if you do these things, then God will love you and forgive you. That's backwards. The point is, God already loves you and forgives you and wants you to live in a way that reflects that. Wants that grace to be a part of the way you live. So if a couple of those felt kind of convicting, if you wanted to squirm a little bit, take that as an invitation, a challenge that there's still work to do, still room to grow. When it comes to discipleship, friends, there are no 4.0 students. And that's a good thing. Because the world doesn't need perfect Christians. The world needs real people trying to do a better and better job of following Jesus. Willing to admit where they don't measure up so that by God's grace, we can try to do better. The goal of our life is to live up to and out of the very high standards we see in the one we follow. He is the reason we seek to do better, and we seek to have those high standards seen in us for His glory and for the building of His kingdom. Amen.